Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're where you want to be.
It's Vinny. Okay, let's just start where we need to start today, Bob, which is,
what do you have
they
for
did
lunch?
Something we wanted them to do.
Yes, absolutely.
It ain't flipping this year's record.
No, it's not. There's still 20 games under 500.
Okay.
Yes. And we're not here to poo-poo on the parade. It's the beginning now of what we can finally say the switch has officially been flipped.
Okay, they've made a pivot. Hopefully a positive pivot.
Yep.
Hopefully the first of a few pivots here. The season's still over, okay?
Correct. Yeah, the season's done, yeah. That's why they made this pivot now.
Glowing optimism on the text line after last night's game, despite the fact that they gave up 10 runs and 15 hits.
Right.
About Vinny being here, blah, blah, blah. It ain't flipping the record this year, okay? Just manage your expectations a little bit.
That's exactly right.
That's just where I want to start. Manage those expectations a little bit. They made a move. They made a positive move. There's a couple of really good things that come out of making a move like this. It's not going to equate to 10 more wins this season.
Oh, God, no. No, that would be an incredible war, right? Wouldn't that be like if you have a war of 10 or something like that, you're in the Hall of Fame, right?
Twice, I think.
Like, well, actually, I saw Jeter's war was like 40-something like that. Very, very high. Right. Very, very high, whatever that means. I guess he's 40 games better than somebody else. But Vinny Pasquantino right now, you're right, Josh, is not all of a sudden going to flip that switch to becoming a playoff contender or anything like that. But what switch was flipped yesterday, I think, is a very important switch for the future of this franchise. The future is now. The future is here. And I think from my standpoint, beginning today is now when I'm really going to start to judge what this Royals team is about, because I think you have your new core of players officially here at the big league level. You have Bobby Witt Jr., who's a superstar in the making. You have MJ Melendez, who I think is going to be a very good catcher and take over eventually for Salvador Perez full time behind the plate. You're going to have Vinny Pasquantino up here, who's, you know, an 11th round draft pick that nobody really gave any credit to or thought that, you know, could ever really play at the big league level, and is better than an 11th round draft pick. And now he's your first baseman of the future. You've got Daniel Lynch when healthy here on the mound. You saw, you know, Bubich last night, not so good. Brady Singer the night before that was very good going into the eighth or ninth inning or whatever it was. And so you've got the core players now together that you can look at as that original core that came up in 14 and 15 with the Moose and the Haas and the Canes and the Gordos and whoever else you want to put in that category. The core players are here right now that hopefully will go on the similar type of run than what we saw. And so for me, today is the line of the demarcation. June 28th, 2022 is when the switch has officially been flipped from, okay, we're going to have a good ball club and maybe we'll get into the wild card, to, okay, the rebuild is officially here. The rebirth has officially started. The youth movement is now here, and we can start seeing what we have for the future. And I'm not going to sit here and make Vinny Pasquantino judgments on day one and go, oh my God, he wasn't 3-for-4. I thought what JJ said yesterday was a brilliant answer. Give me a middle of the bat type of bat. You'll know it when you see it. I mean, we're not going to set a batting average expectation or a home run or anything like that. But now this is the beginning, guys. This is our team for the next 5 years. The core of this team is here, and now let's see what they can do. And it's got to be exciting if you're a Royals fan right now.
I just feel like if you make today the day, it's like another line in the sand to me. Like, it doesn't really resonate with me. Like, My line in the sand is the start of next year and how you get out of the gate. You know what I mean?
Like, well, if they don't perform the rest of this year, though, what's going in the next season going to be like this? Right. So you got to turn it up a little bit. You got to play
a little bit.
And then
I'm just not heaping a whole bunch on Vinny Pascantino. As you mentioned, 11th round draft pick who players didn't know existed at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I talked to one player yesterday. He goes, I never heard of the guy until spring training this year. Yeah.
And it was Prado. And then Vinny butted his nose in.
Yeah, Vinny played great last year. Yeah, won a spot.
Yep. Which is great. You win a spot. But I'm still going to, like, be tempered about it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if he's a core guy. I know he's a young guy with some other young guys that are playing. The two position players that are here now looked apart. I hope he fits into that. I don't know. But
if he's not a core guy, then who is, though? Who's still down there?
Well, Prado. I mean,
is he, though? I mean, I don't know if he is.
I know he
did
beat him in the big leagues, and he took his position.
Right. So how can you say that's a core guy?
So I don't know either. Yeah. I don't know that other than MJ Melendez and Bobby Witt Jr. that there are core guys at this point in time. But I'm willing to give the young guy a chance because, you know, the veteran wasn't helping you.
Right.
Also, I will credit the Royals. They ate money on this one.
Yeah, they did. Yep.
Right, for everybody that said, "Well, they ate money.
Right,
they're paying most of his salary.
Sure, they are. Yeah, but they got a good prospect, not a good prospect got, back, a good pitcher back in return,
and they're happy with the return, which gives me confidence that, like, oh, well, there's a market for Santana. Mm-hmm. Granted, he had to eat money, but still, there was a market for Santana.
Right,
of all the people we've mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos Santana was the first one out the door because he had. Okay, great.
Great. Fantastic. Awesome. I thought that would be the hardest guy to trade.
Then
right?
Let's see what Witt's worth and Whit Merrifield's worth. And let's see what Benintendi's worth.
Right.
And then let's go. Do this full scale, and then we can see what shakes out of it and what that means for next season. So I was pretty encouraged by the deal yesterday. Maybe even less about getting Vinny Pascantino up here and more about, wow, they unloaded that guy.
Yeah, and got two players in return.
And they were willing to eat some money.
Yeah,
I'm not asking them to eat money all the time, but when the time is right, chomp down.
Well, you had a natural opportunity to make a move with Carlos Santana yesterday. Number one, it's time to go. It's time to move on from Carlos Santana. But you also had somebody that was ready to replace him at the big league level. And I think that was part of the issue with Carlos Santana as well. And that position at first base, you had to have somebody that was ready to go. And they didn't feel like Vinny right at the beginning of the season was ready to go. And quite honestly, they held on to Carlos Santana probably a lot longer than they wanted to, but they allowed him to get his feet back under him and start playing better baseball. In the last couple of weeks of the season, he's been really hitting the ball well. Didn't start out the season that way, but you know what? Allowing them and them making that decision to not just cut Carlos Santana like everybody wanted them to do. They allowed him to go out there and play. He found a couple of weeks of good power and good pop, and they were able to foist him onto the Seattle Mariners and get, was it Wyatt Mills back in return, who they really like? I was talking to one player about him yesterday.
Mission Hills resident?
Yeah, what I was thinking, yes. Mission Hills resident or Major League Baseball player. Wyatt Mills, is his name, right? I'm correct on Wyatt Mills,
that sounds right?
Yeah. And I was talking to one guy yesterday. He goes, he's really nasty out there on the mound. He like throws sidearm, and his ball's got weird movement on it. So there's some positive come from that. And I know this organization worked really, really hard to get that trade done. And that trade got done because they've got a good relationship with the Seattle Mariners. And when you have a good relationship with people, you're able to move things forward in the right direction. You're able to trust each other. The Royals got two players back that they really like. They probably would have only gotten that double A or single A player back in return had they not eaten Carlos Santana's, you know, salary. So you eat the salary, you get a better return on investment of the trade, and you're able to move Carlos Santana and get two players back for him.
I like it.
Instead of just cutting him and getting absolutely nothing back for him. It's a great move by the Royals that they were able to foist Carlos Santana on another team and get two players back in return, then create the opening for Vinny Pascantino to come up to the big league level. And so I'm excited to see what he's going to do the rest of the season, man. Just go out there and don't try to carry this team. If Vinny tries to carry this team and he tries to be a guy that's going to be, you know, the guy who's going to go out there and score five runs every time he gets to the plate or hit 700 every time he steps into the batter's box, then he's going to fail. Just go out there and do what you've been doing. JJ said it really good yesterday, I thought. JJ Piccolo, the general manager of the Royals, he said yesterday, he goes, look, man, he's really got a nice approach to hitting right now. We hope he doesn't lose that when he comes up to the big league level.
Nice.
And I thought that's really good to hear JJ kind of
talk
about
anything different
that
than what you've
just
been doing.
Do what you've been doing, man. There's no pressure on you up
be
here.
Vinny Pascantino.
Be Vinny Pascantino. Look, The team right now, and this is the best spot to come up in too, honestly, Josh. I mean, the team's 20 games below 500 right now. It's not like you're in the midst of a pennant race and he's looked at as the difference maker that's going to put you over the top. He's just going to be able to come up here and hopefully just play free and clear. And I think Royals fans are really going to like this guy. He's got a great personality, and I think fans can, you know, get attracted to guys that have great personalities right away, and you start to root for those guys. And hopefully his play on the field continues to be as good as it has been for the last 2 years in the minors, because what, roughly 2 years ago, nobody knew who this guy was, right? And the only reason I knew who he was is because he had me as a guest on his podcast when he was in single A at Burlington during the pandemic, and he had nothing going on. He's like, would you like to be on my podcast? Sure. I got nothing going on. You've got nothing going on. What the hell, right? So we did that. And so then I knew who he was, started to kind of follow him a little bit. I'm like, well, this guy's really hitting the ball well down in the minor leagues. And then he gets moved up to double A last year, and he's tearing it up in Northwest Arkansas. Then he gets moved up to triple A, and he's playing really well there. So hopefully he continues on this track and trek. And being an 11th round pick, man, you kind of got a chip on your shoulder too. And I like that. Like, nobody gave this guy an opportunity, and here he is over a guy, what, Prado was in the first round, top 20 pick, right? He's still sitting down in the minor leagues, and Vinny Pasquantino passed him by. And it goes to show you, it doesn't matter where you start, it's how you finish.
That's what they say, right? Something like that. You'll probably like a guy who was taking out the trash when he got called up.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. I got told this morning, and I was in the hallway taking out some trash when I got told, which was pretty interesting. So my manager in AAA, Scott Thorman, he had texted me this morning. That's when I kind of knew something might be up a little bit, because him and I don't normally text that often, especially on an off day. So he's kind of asking where I was, basically. Without asking me where I was, he asked me where I was. And so when that text kind of came through, it's like, all right, my heart's beating a little bit faster. So I started to become productive instead of just sit in my chair and wait till we were leaving for St. Paul. So I got up, started cleaning a little bit. I took out the trash. And if you ask my roommate, Clay Dungan, it was the first time I had taken the trash out all year. He normally handled the trash taking away. And as I'm in the hallway, Thor, Tommy Shields, our bench coach, and Ryan Powers, our assistant hitting coach, were also walking down the hallway. And that's when I knew something was up. So Thor kind of sees me and asks what's going on. I'm taking out the trash.
Just like always, right?
And so you're going to need to drop those bags real quick. And he said, you're going to big leagues. And I lost all feeling in my body, which was an interesting experience, to say the least. And you know, then we had to figure some things out, and I'm here now, and I couldn't be more thrilled.
So he decided to clean up knowing he was leaving.
Do you think the trash made it to the dumpster?
Or if he dropped it and started.
He just dropped it and left and made Clay Dugan kind of carry it, you know.
Down the hallway, jumping up and down.
Yeah. Now, he's very calm, very cool, very composed. Like, it didn't feel like yesterday seeing him out there at Kauffman Stadium, Josh. It didn't feel like the moment was too big. It didn't feel like he was like wide-eyed. He said he thought the crown was pretty big on the scoreboard, but he'd been to Kauffman Stadium before. He played in those fall camps in like the fall of the pandemic year, you know, when they were able to do stuff like that. So he'd been at Kauffman Stadium before, but obviously his first major league game is going to be tonight. I guess they play a night game tonight. Yeah, tonight out of Kauffman Stadium, get the opportunity to probably be in that starting lineup and ready to rock and roll. So yeah, and somebody should have told him, you go to the big leagues now, son, we have people that take the trash out for you and pick up your underwear.
Yeah, he feels like, well, he's 24, feels like a 24-year-old, decided to clean up once because someone was coming over.
That's right, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, that was
here.
It yeah. Got rid of the pizza boxes and the
30 of Keystone
yeah,
Light.
Yeah
bottle of hot damn, and he's ready to
finally
go
decided
right?
Well, I better clean up here. I'm moving out.
I feel bad for that guy.
Gotta get my deposit back.
Well, I don't know, do you? That's what I was gonna say. That roommate, I mean, these minor leaguers live in like poverty, they led us to believe. Is that minor leaguer gonna be okay by himself down there? Do they get him another roommate? Does somebody come up from like double A Arkansas now move in with this guy? And does he leave the sriracha behind too? Because you know every bachelor pad has a thing of sriracha, probably a thing of mayonnaise, half
some
a
ramen.
Bottle of ketchup, and some ramen noodles, right? Like, what else do you need as a bachelor? And so does he take the sriracha? Does he leave the sriracha for that guy? Does the couch stay on the cement blocks in the bachelor pad? Does he leave the milk crate tables? Like, there's a lot of questions that still need to be answered right now, but it's good to have him up here, and I'm excited, man, because now we got some young players that are worth watching that hopefully will be the core of this team moving forward, and we'll be looking back in a couple of years going, yeah, that was the day Vinny got up here, and this whole thing started to come together.
There's an unknown wide receiver some people think could crack the Chiefs mix. We'll discuss next.
This is Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967, on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Day at the K is coming up on July the 11th. Coming up on Friday, we're going to give away 15 pairs of tickets to come hang out at the K on the 11th with us. So be listening on Friday throughout the show. Be giving away pairs of tickets for 610 Day at the K coming up on July the 11th. Someone's going to throw out the first pitch. There may be some of us singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. I think Condiment Race may be in store. There was something else that involved running. I don't know.
Sometimes I wonder what goes through people's minds when they wake up in the morning and they text us. Because here's one from this morning that I want to talk about. We were talking about last segment trading Carlos Santana, right? Getting Wyatt Mills back and some other guy, right? Here's the text.
William Fleming.
Bill Fleming?
Yes.
Here's,
or Will.
Does he own that steakhouse? Is that still Will a thing? Fleming Steakhouse? Here's the text from the 920. I don't know where that is this morning. How are those players doing that we got for dumping Soler last summer? ... Thought so. And so I responded. I said, based on this text, we should have just kept Santana and done nothing because the status quo works. Response. If I remember, Soler was World Series MVP.
Yeah, but he stunk here.
Making a move for the sake of making a move, not always the best thing.
Mm.
So you just want, like, this would be the same person complaining that they didn't trade Carlos Santana, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, your worst fear, you wanted Soler to go and suck somewhere. I get it.
You get it. But you know, right? Whit Merrifield's going to get traded. He's going to go to a good environment, and he's going to be a good baseball player.
I can't say that it was great here, and Soler was a big part of it.
Right.
It wasn't.
There was nothing going on.
I'm not
here
saying it's all his fault. I'm not.
No.
I would rather, if you're not getting something out of them, to move them on.
Exactly.
And see and take a stab. No, most of these guys won't pan out.
Mm-hmm.
Most people in the draft don't pan out.
Correct.
I mean, it's throwing darts, but I think you got to throw some darts. I can't just say, well, I'm just going to eat the rest of, you know, his $4 million and have him play and bat 200 the rest of the year and mm-hmm. just See what happens. I'll take a stab on a couple prospects here.
I will.
You're not going anywhere with them, and you've opened the door.
You've opened the door for Vinny. Right,
at
the guy everybody wanted to see from day one up here at the big league level. You created a spot for him on the roster. Probably created it a lot earlier than most people thought because the trade deadline is still over a month away. And you were able to get two guys back in return, one guy that you believe will be a big leaguer sooner rather than later, and another guy that's probably a project.
Maybe it didn't work here for Soler. Maybe he was a part of it.
Right.
I don't know. He got unlocked. Good for him.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
I mean, he batted 192 for us.
Yeah, right.
192.
192, yeah.
He got on a heater, World Series MVP. What is he doing in Miami right now? Barely hitting 200.
Yeah, right.
He's back where he was.
Mm-hmm. He got on a nice little tear down.
Right,
there
he got on a heater.
Absolutely,
did his thing. Great for him. It worked out for him. But here in Kansas City, it wasn't going to work.
By no means do you just stop making moves because you don't like what you got in return for a move you made a year ago. And by no means do you stop trading players that aren't part of your future to open the door for players that are part of your future.
Yeah,
like there's
hope,
literally no reason to be upset about.
And
it yesterday.
Then just hope. Well, I mean, you want those guys to be successful when they're here. That'd be nice.
Well, yeah, and that's the reason to be upset. Carlos Santana didn't work out.
Yeah,
right.
This is a good result for a crappy situation.
Correct. And you hit the eject button. You got out of it.
You hope, you know, somebody you flip turns into something.
Right. And sometimes they do, and most of the time they don't. But yeah. You're right about the draft, too, Josh. Again, Vinny was an 11th round pick. The Royals took 10 players ahead of Vinny Pasquantino in that draft. I don't know who they were. I don't know if any of them here are the big. I don't even know what year it was, right?
So, in
the 11th round, there were a lot of players that were taken before him that didn't make it. Gerard Dyson was a 50th round draft pick, right? Remember that? Gerard Dyson was a 50th round draft pick. Came up here, had an amazing Major League Baseball career for a guy who was drafted in the 50th round. Which I don't even know that necessarily even exists anymore. I'm real short right now. So, you know, you've got to take chances. You've got to take risks. That's what it's about. I mean, Vinny even said it yesterday when he was speaking to the media. He goes, you know, you come up here to the big league level and pitchers are considered really, really good if they get you out 8 out of 10 times. He goes, and hitters are considered really, really good if they get hits 3 out of 10 times. He goes, so something's got to give. I mean, it's a very small line between being a very good Major League Baseball player and being a not good Major League Baseball player. It is a very, very thin line. That's why you have to continue to take chances. If the Royals would sit by and just sit on their hands and not do anything, you're not getting better as a franchise. At least you're not trying to get better as a franchise. Andrew Benintendi will be traded. Whit Merrifield most likely will be traded. Those guys will go on, and you will see them have success with other teams because they get put into an environment where they don't have to feel like all the pressure's on them to carry a team. I guarantee you Whit Merrifield will go somewhere. He will fit into whatever organization he goes to. People will love him there. He will be a great player for that organization because he will be a piece to a puzzle in a winning environment, something that he's never had the opportunity to experience here, and he's still been a great player. Up until this year, Whit Merrifield's been one of the best players in all of Major League Baseball. And so now you're probably going to have to trade Whit Merrifield. You're probably going to get something nice back in return for him because he does have another year remaining on his contract. But don't be one of those folks that sits there and gets ticked off because, oh, now he's thriving with the Yankees or now he's doing great things with another team. Sometimes situations, sometimes environments don't lend you to be a productive player or productive at your job, but you get put into a new environment. It's a fresh start. And things start to click better for you. It happened to Jorge Soler. It will probably happen to Whit Merrifield. And there's no reason to hold ill will or grudges towards that.
Now, at some point, you do have to start examining why can't you do that here.
Well, you're right about that. You're absolutely right.
Because I don't want to keep spending. Well, thrive somewhere else, or boy, it wasn't happening here.
Right.
Whit Merrifield's a good player, but they weren't equating to wins. And why isn't it happening? I mean. I wish I had those answers because
right.
I have them too. I have those questions too.
And we all have
this
those
year's
questions.
Team should
yes.
have been better.
Absolutely.
They shouldn't have been trading Carlos Santana. They shouldn't be trading Whit Merrifield. They shouldn't be trading Andrew Benintendi because they should be winning.
They should be winning and they should be trying
those,
to load up to make a push towards the end of the season.
Yes.
But if you really want to know what it is, and
they
I
should
talk,
be they should be in the mix.
Right.
Or should be one of those teams, as Vern talks about, that should talk yourself into believing you're in the mix.
Right. And you know what? But you know what? I'd rather have them 20 games under 500 right now than a team that's 5 games under 500, knowing you probably don't have a shot to make it. And now you get the opportunity to unload players and make some moves.
If this
right?
year's team was within five, I'd say, okay, they're exactly where they should be.
Sure.
I wouldn't be talking myself into fool's gold.
But would they be willing to trade players at that point in time?
They should be willing. They should be in the mix. And they should be exactly where you expected them to be. And no, you probably wouldn't be trading players because you would be feeling like these guys are pushing towards something productive.
Correct.
And they should be.
Right.
So, no, I wouldn't be fooling myself in anything. That's where they should be. Mm-hmm.
They should be right about there. They should be a team that at this point in the season, they should have been a team that's kind of in contention.
They're not. So now it's time to make moves a different direction.
Right, exactly. And they're doing the exact right thing, and I give them credit for not waiting on it. You got the opportunity to make a move. You go out there and you make a move, and you make your ball club hopefully better. And I think that's where the Royals are headed right now. And, you know, just talking to a few folks yesterday, one of the biggest concerns right now, you know, on this team, Josh, is the starting pitching. And number one, trying to get out of the first inning, right? That's been an issue for them a lot this year. And then trying to make it through the third time in the order. And we may be at a spot in Major League Baseball where you don't get the opportunity for any starting pitcher to truly make it through the third spot in the order. Do you know how much information these guys are getting after each inning right away in the dugout? Guys are making in-game adjustments like they've never made before. Pitchers are having a harder time all across baseball trying to get through that third time through the order. But these guys got to just start throwing strike one. One of Bubich's biggest issues last night, and I specifically watched that for this, throw strike one. Take your fastball and throw strike one. And it's not just Bubich. It's all of these young pitchers. For whatever reason, I don't want to use the term fear, and they're afraid to throw strike one, but get up there and command your fastball and shove that thing right down the center of the plate. Get ahead of batters. They haven't done a good enough job of getting ahead of batters. If they start getting ahead of batters, and then when you get to 1-2, 0-2, you know, two, finish these guys off. Finish these guys off. Go out there and have belief in your abilities. And I think that's one of the biggest things holding this ball club back right now. Some of these young pitchers just don't have the belief in their ability. They've got to have that belief in their ability. You're at the big leagues.
All right, we need to get to this. I never heard of him. That's suddenly hot news for the Chiefs. Next.
You're listening to Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967. The show first to breaking news in Kansas City.
So apparently, if you've pooped yourself on Lucky Charms, go to iowaspoison.com.
610 Sports Radio.
Back in Tuesday edition, Fesco in the Morning, along with Bob Fesco, I'm Josh Klingler. Brian Williams, B-Dub, our producer slash musical director. Pete Schrager of NFL Network was in town this weekend for the Big Slick. He took part in the Big Slick, but he was also nosing around Chiefs land. And I never heard of him. Is now a hot name in the wide receiver room.
Oh my God!
For the Chiefs.
I mean, my God!
Our buddy Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride, our 610 Sports Radio Chiefs insider, would like to note, he told you all along, he's the first to fall in love with this guy.
That's right. Sweeney's been all over
and
this
now
thing.
Now Schrager is getting the word that this is a hot name. Okay.
Schrager mentioned this guy.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You never heard of yesterday, and all Chiefs fans took their pants off and lit up a cigarette. Yeah. Meanwhile, Pete Sweeney's been telling you about this guy for months, and everybody's fully dressed.
Pete had to go through
and Pete's much better looking than the other Pete.
Previous tweets to tell you he told you so.
That's right.
He's been tweeting about off-season work and a guy making plays by the name of Justin Watson.
Watson! Yes!
Yeah. Yes.
More about who?
Who was
heard of him.
A member of the Buccaneers practice squad.
Oh, well, let's saddle up, right?
Okay.
We got this guy.
So this was Pete way back in like May.
Uh-huh. Pete Schrager or Pete Sweeney?
Pete Sweeney.
Sweeney. Okay.
Play of the day was made by wide receiver Justin Watson.
Watson, yes!
Watson ran a corner route against McDuffie, and Patrick Mahomes hit him perfectly in stride in the back right of the end zone.
See, I never know how to react to something like that. Are we excited because the offense did something good, or are we like, uh-oh, O.J. McDuffie didn't do anything,
first-round
right?
draft pick got burned.
Yeah.
Pete Sweeney, June 2nd.
So how am I supposed to watch training camp, Josh? Please, would That's you right. enlighten me on this? I don't know.
June 2nd, back to practice in one-on-ones. Wide receiver Justin Watson popped again. Just a clean route runner, and he comes with a willingness to play special teams.
Oh, there it is.
Yep.
There it is.
June 9th. Other general standouts for me on Thursday. Lists a whole bunch of names, including wide receiver Justin Watson.
Trent Watson! Yeah.
Trent McDuffie did show that day, too.
Did he show that day? Okay, good. Redeemed himself.
And then Arrowhead Pride ran a little piece about him and his days playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where he didn't get a ton of snaps. He's got 23 catches for 258 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's his career on offense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Pete Schrager's in town, tweeted out a photo which included a picture of him, Rudd, Stone Street, and Brett Veach.
Okay. So Stone Street's out here telling him all about this Watson kid when he was filming the Randy Reed stuff,
either Randy
right?
Reed was telling him stuff or Brett Veach is drumming up one Justin Watson.
Who is that bottom one on the second column, Sarah? He was with the Buccaneers the last couple years on their practice squad out of the University of Pennsylvania. Justin Watson? Why are we talking about Justin Watson at 8 a.m.? Because the buzz out of minicamp on Justin Watson is that this guy can make an impact. Now, look, he wore 17 for Tampa. He's going to be wearing 84 for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, wow.
And I believe he will not only make the team, I think he's going to play a difference in this thing. You think about what Mahomes can do, and then you put these different types of players. I mean, instead of having one guy in Tyreek Hill, now you have 8 different guys that you could throw the ball to. And, of course, Travis Kelce at tight end. I don't think anyone's going to do what Tyreek Hill did, but I don't think this team is going to fall apart without him.
Huh.
And I think that the Chiefs still feeling that loss to the Bengals have something to prove.
Huh.
The fact that they are not the hunted right now and they're the hunters, I don't think that bodes well for anybody, including the Buffalo Bills.
I have not heard anybody say anything like that for the last 6 months. Well, other than us.
Sometimes it takes a little national validation. I can't say I was on the front end. Pete Sweeney was, though.
Sweeney was on that guy.
Of Justin Watson.
That's right. That's why he is our Chiefs insider, and that's why he's the guy you trust when it comes to Chiefs information. Pete Sweeney was out here talking about Justin Watson while Peter Schrager didn't even know who Justin Watson was. Odds Peter Schrager knew Justin Watson before Friday.
Watson! Yes!
I don't know, maybe.
No,
maybe.
I'm going to say a zero.
Maybe.
I didn't know he went to the University of Pennsylvania. Maybe that's where my sister went. That's
maybe
cool.
Maybe somebody on the Bucs was raving about him as well. He just couldn't crack it. Their mix.
Couldn't crack it. There's always that.
Because they had a deep wide receiver room.
There is always that. So. Well, the Ivy League kid, man, University of Pennsylvania, great school. So it would be exciting to see what the Quaker is up to and if he's able to make the roster,
we have,
right?
Like 10 wide receivers who aren't going to make this team. That are so good.
You know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have a wide receiver camp here in Kansas City with all of these great wide receivers to get them some exposure. Maybe they can find themselves on another roster. Or here's the other thing.
And this Keep them dealing for defensive
ends.
That's
exactly right. You use these guys as trade bait because we're Justin Watson right now. Maybe he is good. Maybe it's the hype train starting a little bit in the right direction because the Chiefs are sensing, we don't want to really trade a lot of these guys. This guy's all right. Let's hype this guy up a little bit. And maybe somebody bites like Jerry Jones falls in love with this guy because Peter Schrager says he's good. Now Jerry Jones has got to have him. Jerry Jones sends us a defensive end. We send him a wide receiver. And the Kansas City Chiefs come out looking like winners again because that's usually what they do when they make trades. And so there's some of that as well. You hype up a lot of these guys at this time of the year, as our friend Ben Maller calls it, the silly season of the NFL. Start hyping some of these guys up so in turn you can use them as trade bait and make your team better at a position of weakness, because that's what you always want to do, is deal from strength. And apparently with 18 wide receivers on this roster right now, that's a position of strength for the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's go.
And Patrick Mahomes gets a chance at scoreboard on Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make this guy something you couldn't.
That's right. Yes.
I'm going to use this guy. 6'3", 216. Just languished on your practice squad. Look what I'm going to make of it.
That's right.
Tommy. Take that.
I also like the fact that he's willing to play special teams. At this point in time, what young guy that plays wide receiver isn't willing to play special teams?
Yeah, you better,
teams?
Or you're not having a job.
You're not going to make the NFL on any team.
Yeah.
You got to be willing to play special teams.
Yeah.
So hearing that, I'm like, yeah, that's kind of par for the course. Yeah. That's what you should be doing.
You better be willing. Yeah. All right, so Justin Watson, keep that name in mind.
That's right, number 84 in your programs, number one in your heart. He's going to be the new, what's that guy's name that everybody fell in love with last year at training camp, the tight end?
Jody Fortson. Yeah.
He's this year's Jody Fortson, right? He is this year's Jody Fortson.
There are two Justins, though. You can take your pick, Ross or Watson.
Oh, that is right.
Fall in love with whoever.
When you said Justin Watson yesterday, I'm like, that guy from Clemson who had the back fused together?
Different Justin.
Justin Watson, the Penn Quaker. You know what they do at the university?
I think he's Justin with a Y. This one's Justin with an I.
An I. The Justin with an I went to Penn. Justin with a Y went to Clemson. Okay,
correct.
I can remember that now. I got that. You know what they do at Penn when they score touchdowns, right? You know what their tradition is? They throw toast on the field.
Watson, yes!
I'm not kidding. How lame is that?
Well, then he'll fit right in with Patrick Mahomes because they throw tortillas.
That's right, yes.
So he's used to playing.
That's right.
With that scores touchdowns, throw stuff on the field.
That's exactly right.
All right, got it. Mm-hmm. Got it. Justin with an I.
Or it's just that bread you get under the barbecue that nobody eats. You just throw that onto the field.
maybe so. Our countdown continues towards the start of football.
All right, fellas, 71 days until football. Got a great one for you today. It needed to be said.
No, it didn't.
It needed to be said.
I would say incorrect.
The next episode in the Tyreek Hill podcast is on the way.
Uh-huh.
And guess who is going to be the next guest?
Hey, this is Tyreek Hill here, a.k.a. the Cheetah Man. I'm sitting here with that boy to a T, huh?
Woo!
Yeah, Julius, talk to him, huh? What we doing, huh? Hello. Y'all already know what time it is, man. We over here shooting this content. Cheetah out, baby.
Is Tyreek Hill putting an unreasonable amount of pressure on Tua to turn the ball over and the Miami Dolphins?
Well, there should be pressure on Tua anyway. I mean, you're a quarterback in the NFL, but nobody really knew about Tua and what was going on in Miami until Tyreek Hill started to kind of run his mouth. I got to give the Chiefs a lot of credit for not allowing Tyreek Hill to get out there and do stuff like this here in Kansas City. Could you imagine if he was doing a podcast here in Kansas City like this and ripping Patrick Mahomes and doing all this stuff while he was a player here like he's done since he left Kansas City? Man, it would not have been a good look here in KC. And so is he putting more pressure on Tua right now? There's definitely going to be more eyeballs down there. But I think when you get a player of Tyreek Hill's capabilities, you better step up your game as the quarterback. So I don't know that the podcast is doing it necessarily. Just his presence down there should be putting more pressure on Tua.
I think he is, to justify his own existence. Yeah, I mean, he needs Tua to be good. Because he won't be.
Yeah, right.
So, he's putting an undue amount of pressure on Tua. Because he's got to justify himself and his salary and him leaving and all these things. Now it's become personal for Tyreek Hill. I can't just go somewhere, take my money. I've got to play, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I've abandoned the Chiefs, and oh, my God, I regretted it.
Yeah, he does definitely regret it.
Yes, he's definitely doing it. Definitely doing that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, Tua will be the next guest. Hey, if you had, I had over under five
as episodes.
This will be episode three.
And
so
I tell you what, be honest, I've swung and missed it a lot lately. I didn't think the USFL would make it through 3 weeks, and now they're going into season number two. Congratulations to them. And I didn't think this Tua podcast had any.
Yeah, it's got legs.
And there hasn't been much substance, you know, in this podcast other than the first episode.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see what him and Tua talk about.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, was discussing the Tyreek podcast and whether or not it's created more pressure.
I really don't think it's in the best interest of Tyreek Hill. He's trying to build a new image and reputation. He's with a new team. And all he's managing to do, frankly, And I'm not being a hater. I'm not saying shut up and play when I express my opinion. What he's doing is he's putting more pressure on the Dolphins to get him the football as often as he wants it, or otherwise they're going to have a problem, because we now know the Chiefs had a problem, even though Tyreek Hill didn't do anything about it publicly. If he gets three catches in a game at any point in 2022, we now know to ask, reporters covering the team know to ask, You okay, Tyreek? You happy with your output today? You think they should be using you more? We now know that. He's flagged that as an issue. It's put more pressure onto Tua Tagovailoa to throw the football more accurately than Patrick Mahomes does. And there's more pressure on Mike McDaniel, the coach of the team, to design the plays to showcase Tyreek Hill. So that's my opinion, and I'm entitled to express it. And I'm not being a hater, and I'm not saying shut up and play. Look, I like it. I like content. I like to have things in late June to react to and talk about. But I really do believe, and this is my opinion, that it's not in Tyreek Hill's interest to continue this podcast if it's just going to be saying something outlandish one episode and then the next episode complaining about the way people reacted to what you said the last episode when you know damn well how they're going to react.
A little behind the curtain, this is the reason Andy Reid doesn't let his players do any of this stuff.
100%. Yep, 100%.
That's exactly it. We've tried. We tried to get player shows and do whatever. Chiefs are not interested. They don't want to do it. Andy Reid doesn't want to do it. This is exactly the reason why. And he could just go and point to this.
This is it.
Not productive.
Right.
Can only go one direction for you. Distraction.
And then
that's it.
And then it becomes a distraction because everybody would listen to these.
Look,
everybody,
we'd love.
And
we'd
then go
love,
to Andy Reid every week and ask about what's being said on these podcasts.
We'd love the content of it too. Florio, I'm completely
100% on board with that.
We'd love the content of it. It's not smart business. And if you're a coach, you don't want that.
It's not smart business for the team to allow these guys to do it, because not from a dollars and cents standpoint, but just from a now we've got to deal with something
unnecessary
else.
Distraction standpoint.
The NFL's number one goal is to eliminate distractions. They want to eliminate all distractions. Well, they have Deshaun Watson still hanging around, which all of that distraction begins today and is getting worse by the minute for Deshaun Watson. But Mike Florio started that whole thing off by saying about, you know, the reputation and image for Tyreek Hill. I think Tyreek Hill right now has a worse reputation and image than he did the day he left Kansas City, because all of this stuff is starting to come out now and people are looking at this guy going, you really are a heel. I mean, you really are a heel to come out here and to say this kind of stuff about Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, and everything else you say right now is going to be muddied in everybody's ears because you took shots at the organization that stood up for you on multiple occasions, gave you a big contract early on in your career, took a chance on you in the draft when nobody else will, and then you leave and you flame the bridge right behind you. Not a good look. I think his reputation, his image is toast in this town right now.
Vern sits down with Royals GM J.J. Piccolo on the call-up of Vinny and more. We'll hear from him next.
Keep listening to Fesco in the Morning.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Thank you.
Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967 on 610 Sports Radio.
All right, Royals yesterday, trading Carlos Santana, getting back a couple of pitchers. One who will pitch at some point for the big club this year. One who's down in A ball, but got rid of the veteran first baseman who wasn't doing much for you. Sent him to Seattle. Up comes Vinny Pasquantino. The opportunity has presented itself for a young player to be called up, which is always part of the deal. You need to create a spot for somebody in order for them to have the opportunity. Now Vinny gets the opportunity to play at first base and maybe a DH. General Manager J.J. Piccolo sitting down with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, on the trade, the future, what it means.
MJ, Bobby, Vinny, that it's a pretty hefty trio for the middle of the lineup. Somewhat similar, Haas, Moose, Gordo. With them, we all knew what was coming after 2017. I wonder, as you plan for the future, how much these next 5 years, where you know you got those three in the middle of the lineup, how much of that is a main focus of you guys?
Well, I think we've known for a couple years now that as we move into phases where we're going to win more ball games and be very competitive at a high level, we needed these three and a few others to be on the team and be a part of the team for a number of years. That the window, you know, unfortunately, the way this game operates today, that window, you know, presumably is 6 years. So we need to make the most of it. That's why I think we're really careful and deliberate in when we call a guy up. to make sure that they're ready. I think MJ was probably an exception this year just because it was an injury, but he certainly has shown that he belongs here and was worthy of a call-up. That's why the intentionality of when to call a guy up and start forming your team and getting as many possible at-bats as you can with a group together is really important to us and important to the success of our organization.
That trio that led you guys to a pair of pennants, you guys made quite a few interesting moves, whether it's bringing in a Kane and Eske, guys of the similar age that could play alongside with them up until 2017, even the Will Myers trade. But really wanted to focus on the idea of trading someone that's not just an expiring contract, someone that maybe you have for two, maybe three, but won't be here the entire time of that window we discussed.
Yeah, it's something I think we definitely have to explore, and we do talk about a lot. Not knowing what the needs are of other clubs and what they might be targeting is the tougher part. When we look back on the Shields trade that brought in Wade as well, we knew we had a farm system that Tampa was targeting, so it was very obvious throughout the prior season before the trade was made that something was going to happen or potentially could happen. So I think we just have to go into everything with open arms, ideas, you know, whether it's our pro scouting department, our amateur scouting department, our coaching staff, present ideas, and then we have to try to capitalize wherever and whenever we think they may come, but we just don't know when it's going to come. But to get a complete together team together is the challenging part, and we still have a little ways to go to do that.
Two things that I say consistently from my perch, where, you know, I'm undefeated. I've never lost, so it's easy for me. But the question I had about Santana was, again, my perfect record. Me and everyone in the media screaming for him to be let go in May, DFA him. You can direct it at me, but your message, is it a spiked football? Since you got something in return when it was obvious to many that that wasn't going to happen.
I try not to look at it that way. I think it was what we needed to do was to give him the opportunity to keep getting at bats and be patient with Vinny. It could have been, I don't want to say an easy move. It would have been maybe an accepted move if we had done that. But we did have a belief internally that Carlos could bounce back. And really, we needed him to bounce back for a month or so as we're getting into the deadline. And I think his track record speaks for itself. So we felt like there would be legitimate interest if he could get back on track. And the only way he was going to get back on track is if he kept getting at bats. And at the same time, you know, our evaluations were that Vinny wasn't quite there yet. So they coincided with each other. I think maybe if we had a few development guys and our scouts banging the table saying, hey, Vinny needs to come up on May 15th, I might have had to look at it a little bit differently. But we weren't there just yet. And within the last 2 weeks or so, it became a little bit more apparent that the time is right. Now we got to create the opportunity.
And I think the front office track record with trades, it seems like you guys have won more than you lost. You look at what Coleman and Olivares, Gabe Spire, quite a few. But another one of the things I've been saying is with just a few savvy moves, as we talk about the foundation and the rotation and in the lineup, a few savvy moves, there's no reason why, despite the unhappiness with where you're at right now, no reason this thing shouldn't be able to turn around quickly. Is that...
No, I know where you're going, and we're optimistic about that. I mean, we have to let certain players, young players, whether it be hitters or pitchers, kind of go through these growing pains. And I know that's a difficult thing to accept, but that's where we are. But now when you add a few pieces here and there, and in this case, we're able to add a young player that's going to get valuable experience in 22, well, how's that help us in 23? You know, it was nice that we were able to get sort of a variety package in return, in a player that we believe is going to help our major league team now and somebody who's going to help our major league team down the road. That was ideal for us. And then, you know, the financial part of it was a factor as well. So we felt like we hit on something that made sense on all fronts. And now we get a chance to give Vinny the at-bats and start moving forward at that position.
Final one with Vinny. I was asked earlier today, how would you describe him when you put him with MJ and Bobby? And, you know, Bobby likely is the most talented of the bunch, but Bottom nine, bases loaded, two outs. You got to put the ball in play. It might be hard to pick anyone other than Vinny.
Yeah, I mean, just when you look at his contact rates and strikeouts to walks, I mean, it's pretty impressive. Not to take anything away from anybody else. I wouldn't mind any one of them being up with the game on the line. But in situations like that, the ball needs to be put in play, and Vinny's done that his entire career.
Thanks, JJ.
Thanks, Vern.
All right, that's Vern with J.J. Piccolo.
Yeah, bottom of the ninth, two outs. You're already going to, you know, get Vinny Pasquantino, Vern. Way to go.
I love it.
Yeah.
Here you go, Vern.
Because he doesn't strike out. I think he had like four strikeouts in AAA this year or something.
It's
very, very low.
Put the ball in play.
Right. That's what you want to do. You put the ball in play, good things happen. And as I'm listening to that conversation with Vern and J.J. last night and again today, there's a couple of things that really, like, jumped out at me.
What, turkey?
Like turkey. That's what I couldn't think. I was just saying, like, toast? I couldn't remember what jumped
pretty
out.
Pretty much.
Right? Yeah.
Turkey, though.
Turkey, yes.
Turkey jumped out.
Turkey jumped out. The first question Vern asked, can we play the first question?
Sure.
I don't care about his answer. Just listen to this first question that Vern asks the general manager of the Kansas City Royals.
MJ, Bobby, Vinny, that's a pretty hefty trio for the middle of the lineup. Somewhat similar, Haas, Moose, Gordo. With them, we all knew what was coming after 2017. I wonder, as you plan for the future, how much these next 5 years, where you know you got those three in the middle of the lineup, how much of that is a main focus of you guys?
So there it is, right then and there. Not about, hey, Vinny's coming up. This is the reality of baseball and the world in which we live as Royals fans, is that the clock is ticking. I mean, and Vern's been talking about that, about the last couple of months, about, hey, we got 5 years left of Bobby Witt, 5 years left of MJ Melendez, right?
Making us deal in realism this year?
He is. No.
But they're also not denying it.
That is true. The
Vern has said it a lot.
Yeah, right.
That there's not a, oh, wait, we can.
Yeah. No, they understand in 5 years, Bobby Witt Jr. is not going to be here.
We
can
keep these guys, and there's a chance we can. They're not refuting it.
No,
it seems Vern's kind of pushing the narrative.
Yeah,
of hey, you got to go. You got a limited time with them.
Right,
probably more so than, or certainly more so than we. I mean, I don't know that was much of a consideration when the World Series was going on. Other than, I mean, barely talked about it afterwards.
Correct.
Right,
like,
gotta keep these guys. Right, we'll just keep this thing rocking. It feels like a huge dose of realism from Vern this year.
It really.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.